Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We come to Jesus, and we know that there is peace, there is mercy, and there is love in the wonderful, sweet grace and forgiveness that we receive by Jesus' work on the cross. And so we ask that you open our hearts and our minds as we prepare to receive the word this morning, that we may be transformed by it. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Good morning. You got your Bibles? Amen. That's what I like to hear. We are this morning in the last section of Paul's letter to Philemon. We've been in this. It's been a great study about the church and what God expects and that kind of thing, and how we're to treat one another and how we're to receive and accept one another. And now next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate and observe communion together. And brothers and sisters, let's pack this place out. Bring somebody with you. 80% of the people you invite to come to church will come with you. Did you know that? 80%. Now, you might need to go by and pick them up. Even say, hey, we'll go out and eat lunch afterward, but just bring them. People need to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. So let's fill this place up next Sunday. Lord's Supper, communion, whole service will be built around that, and I can't wait. But I'm excited about this morning, and because I think we're dealing with something here that really, if we're going to be honest, most of us really struggle with forgiveness. Now, I've got one finger pointed here. I've got three pointed back at me, okay? I think this is an issue we all struggle with, forgiving someone. Did y'all hear it? This is a true story. I heard about a college kid who was about to graduate. And he's late to his last college exam. Can you believe that? Comes in 15 minutes late to his last college. There's 400 students in this class. And they've already been in the exam for 15 minutes. And he runs down front. And he grabs an exam paper off the desk from the professor, and the professor looks at him and says, do you know what time it is? You're late. There's no way you're going to have time to finish this exam. He said, well, just give me an opportunity. Give me a chance. He said, well, okay. And so the boy ran back, sat down, started in on the exam, tried to fill it out as feverishly and fast as he could. And then all of a sudden, time went out, and he went over his time that was allotted to take the test. And so everybody was leaving, and he comes down front, and he's about to put his paper down on the desk. And the professor said, I'm not going to take that exam. You came in late, and now you've gone over the extended time. I'm not going to take your exam. And the college student looked at him. He said, do you know who I am? And the professor said, no, I don't know who you are, and I could care less who you are. And that smart student said, good, and he lifted up half a stack of those papers, slid his in there, and put the other on top, and left to graduation freedom. Yeah. Now, some of you kids don't try that, okay? I want to talk to you about the freedom of forgiveness this morning. It's, you know, we are free from a lot of things when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. He sets us free from the chains of sin. He sets us free from the prison cell of hell. He sets us free from all kinds of things, an empty life, a wasted life. How many of you are glad that you're free in Christ Jesus? We learned last year in John's gospel, he whom the Son sets free is free. Yes. And so we're looking at a man today that's in need of freedom of forgiveness. this Onesimus, this runaway slave who had also stolen some of his master's possessions. And he's in need of freedom. He's in need of forgiveness. Now, let me just kind of set the table real quickly for you. Paul's writing to Philemon, Onesimus's master, okay? And what Philemon doesn't know is Onesimus is now a believer in Christ. And so he's been a great blessing to the Apostle Paul, Onesimus has. He's been there for him while he's been in prison, and he's now not only a new friend, but a new brother in the Lord. And so he finishes this letter that we've been looking at, and he gives it to Onesimus. Now, and he sends Onesimus back to Colossae. Put yourself in his shoes. It's a hike from Rome to Colossae. And in your mind's eye, can't you see him walking down that dusty, dirty road into Colossae, and he's got Paul's letter tucked inside his cloak? And that's his only hope of freedom and forgiveness. Because you see, he's going to need a pardon from his act of thievery and he cost his master quite a bit of money. And that letter from Paul is his ticket out of jail, amen? And so he comes through the gate of Colossae, the city gates, and people begin to recognize Onesimus. And you know how folks are, what do they start doing? That's Onesimus. That's Philemon's runaway slave. And you know, he stole some money from him when he left. Wonder what's going on. Somebody go tell Philemon Onesimus is back. And so Onesimus gets to the house of Philemon, knocks on the door, and his only hope is in that letter. For forgiveness and freedom. Paul sent him back and he went back. And so my question is this morning, how would Philemon receive Onesimus? Would he forgive Onesimus? Would he pardon him? But the bigger issue is, how do we receive someone, especially a believer, who has done us wrong? How do we receive someone who has really hurt us, that's a believer in Christ? How do we forgive them? How do we treat them? Isn't that a great question? Well, we got some great answers right here in the Word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as we read. Start there at verse 17. I want to tell you what, I love the Apostle Paul. I can't wait to see him in glory. I want to talk to him about some things. If then you count me as a partner, Paul says, now he's writing to Philemon, receive him, Onesimus, as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Billy, ask God to bless the Word today, would you?
Father in heaven, you are the very essence of forgiveness and grace. You alone committed the most act the world has ever known. Impress that upon our lives, not just with our relationship with you, but our relationship with others.
Yes, Father.
Open the Word to us afresh and anew, Lord. Speak to us. Your servants are listening.
Amen. Please be seated. Here's the first truth, if you're following along in your notes. Here's the first truth that I believe we're looking at this morning. It's found in verse 17. He says, if then you count me as a partner, that's a key word there, receive him as you would me. So when someone harms us or treats us wrong or does something bad to us, if they're a believer, we're to receive them as family. Treat them as a family member, okay? The word partner there is the Greek word koinonia. That's a real special word. Look at your neighbor and say, we got koinonia. You know what that word means? It means fellowship. It means to have things in common. And so Paul is writing to Philemon as a brother in Christ. He says, my brother. Now, probably, you know, Paul's the one that founded the church there in Colossae, right? And then once the church got started, Philemon says, hey, we're just going to host the church in my house. And probably Paul not only won Onesimus to the Lord in Rome, he won Philemon to the Lord in Colossae. And so Paul's writing to Philemon. He's got a lot invested in Philemon as well. And he said, and he's writing to him as a brother in Christ. The word receive means to receive into a family circle. How many of y'all got family? Half of y'all don't have family? What have y'all done? Families fuss. Families fight. Families disagree. But you know what families do? They forgive one another and move on. That's what they do. And that's what we do. And so Paul says, listen, my brother, what you may not know is Onesimus is now your brother and mine. He's in the family of God. And he needs to be received just like you would receive another family member. You treat him just like you treat me. Woo! Isn't that major stuff? Well, it gets worse because look at Matthew 6:14. Just flip on over in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew 6:14. Now, somebody here's not going to like this, but it's okay. And by the way, if the Word of God doesn't ever convict you about anything, Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I thought we'd have some Baptist in here that had a running spell over that one. Let me read it again. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, what we need to do when someone hurts us, especially another believer, a Christian, a follower, when a believer hurts you, what we need to do, and you'll have to do this if you're like me, you got to remember just how much you've been forgiven of. Did you deserve the forgiveness that God gave you? Oh, I don't want to hear somebody say yes. No, you cannot merit your salvation. You'll never be good enough to be good enough to be received by God. You mean to tell me there's not any good people around, Brother? Oh, yeah, there's some good people in our stand, you know, as we see goodness. But we all come short of the goodness and the glory of Christ Jesus. And so he receives us on the basis that he forgave us. And so when I start thinking about everything that God's forgiven me of, how can I fail to forgive someone that's hurt me? And by the way, if I want to be forgiven, and we talked about this Wednesday night, Dwight Dixon talked about it last Sunday. 1 John 1:9 is the most worn out verse in my Bible. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the first step in forgiving someone who's hurt you is to remember what you've been forgiven of and how you didn't deserve God's forgiveness, and yet God just freely gave it to you. And how can I, and by the way, I could park on this for a while, but I'm just going to say a word or two. If you're holding a grudge against somebody that's hurt you, guess who is hurting? It ain't hurting them at all, but it's killing you. It's wearing you out. It's going to make an old man or an old woman out of you. You keep holding on to that grudge, and that root of bitterness will spring up in your heart, and it will destroy you. We need to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And when you do that, it'll set you free. Say freedom with me.
Freedom.
Everybody shout freedom.
Freedom.
That's what we need this morning. Amen? And so we want to treat others as Christ has treated us. We've been forgiven of much. Sometimes, you know, when you've been saved as long as I am, you tend to forget about what happened way back when. Amen? All right, so when someone hurts you, someone harms you, someone does you wrong, if they're a believer, you receive them as family because that's what Jesus did for you. All right? Now, we're talking about believers here. I don't have the time to go into unbelievers. But let me just say one little word about that. If an unbeliever hurts you or harms you or does you wrong, guess what? That's what lost people do. Hello? It shouldn't shock us when a lost world does something wrong to us, because that's who they are. They don't have that forgiveness. I know I've been mulling this over all week, but are y'all getting me? Are we getting through to y'all? Well, wink at me, nod your head, smile, frown, cry, stand up and shout or something, all right? I want to know that I'm communicating with you. So the first thing you do is you receive them as family, all right? Here's the second truth, I believe. Let me go back to Philemon here. In verses 18 and 19, here's the second truth, and this is huge. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. What we're looking at, this is the, now I don't want to throw a big word on you, but this is the doctrine of imputation, okay? Paul's saying, hey, if he owes you something, I don't want your wallet to suffer any financial loss. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to pay the debt. You put his bill, whatever it is that he owes you, whatever it is he stole, you put that on my account. Okay? I will repay. When Jesus left heaven and came to earth, he was God in the flesh. He was fully human, but he was God in the flesh. And he was tempted to sin in every single way that we are tempted to sin. But bless God, he won the victory. He never did sin. He lived up to every one of God's commandments. This is huge, y'all. He lived up to everything that God expected. He is God's perfect 10. And that's how he was able to go to the cross and become the sacrifice for our sin. And here's where the doctrine of imputation comes in. When Jesus paid the price for all of our sin, here's what he did. He took your sins and mine and put them on his account and paid for every single one of them. Our sins were imputed to his account. Are y'all following with me now? This is big. This is huge. You've got to understand this. He took all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the unworthiness. He put all of that, took all of that and placed it on his account. But it gets even better than that. When you received him as your Lord and Savior, he placed his righteousness on your account. A couple got over here, two or three of you here, and about six of you over here. So I'm going to preach to this crowd right here. Listen, 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 listen. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's what he did for you. He declared you righteous. He placed his righteousness on you. And then when the Father looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son, and he's got to receive you just like he receives his Son. Woo! Glory to his name. That's the doctrine of imputation, and that's what Paul's saying. He owes you anything, I'll take care of it. Put it on my account. I will repay. Isn't that good? Now watch verse 19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. He says, I'm the one writing this letter. Some people think that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his bad eyesight from the Damascus Road experience. I don't know about all that. But normally Paul has an amanuensis, somebody who's writing for him, but not this letter. Paul's writing it himself. He says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me. Even your own self besides. Now, Philemon knew the Apostle Paul. He had a personal relationship with him. He says, now, brother, I'm going to take care of any debt that Onesimus has. You put it on my account. I'm going to repay you. But you also need to remember just exactly what you've experienced with me. You see what Paul's doing is? He is extending grace not only to Onesimus, but he's providing an example of grace for Philemon. And that's what that's exactly the pattern we need to follow. Did you deserve grace? No. Did you deserve God's mercy? No. But God gave it to you. Isn't he a great God? Hallelujah. And so, Paul's extending grace because Onesimus is now a brother in Christ. He's a family member, and he's sending him back to Colossae. And he says, now, Philemon, he's here because you've got the letter and you're reading it right now. Now, you need to receive him as you would receive me. You need to treat him just like you would treat me because he's a brother in the Lord now, too. Forgive him. Forgive him. And you just remember how good God's been to you. Whew. Three or four times this week as I've been studying the last part of this, I just broke down in tears. Because when you allow the Holy Spirit to just show you who you used to be and the things that you've done, and all that you've been forgiven of, how can we not forgive others? And that leads to the last point. Forgiveness brings joy. You know, I was talking about holding grudges. Some of y'all are miserable in here. You're miserable. You don't have joy. And probably the reason is you've got unforgiveness. You've got bitterness in your heart towards a brother or sister in the Lord. Guess what? God wants to set you free today. And if you will do what the Word of God's telling you to do, you're going to have joy that passes anything anybody can understand. Look at verse 20. Watch this. Paul says, yes, brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. refresh my heart in the Lord. I in my own life, I just want to give personal testimony. Whenever I practice forgetting, now I will tell you what, you can hurt me, do anything to me, it doesn't bother me much. But you hurt somebody in my family, and you do my wife wrong, my son wrong, my two daughters wrong, especially one of my grandchildren, this forgiveness issue gets real. And so I need to extend grace to people and be an example of grace to everyone, just like Jesus. And when I do that, you know what it does for Jesus? It puts a big smile on his face. Do you want him happy with you? Yeah, you do. Forgiveness, it's huge. This may be the thing that's holding Second Mile back from revival. I'm just going to be completely transparent with you. Are y'all ready for this? I won't give you a grade school and junior high school and high school story. And the main character's me. I had a neighborhood buddy growing up, and we were best friends. We were good friends. And he was my close neighbor. And you know what young buddies do is we play together, we hang out together, we play ball together, blah, 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 blah. Went to school together. And we were just best friends. What do they call that? BFF? Whatever. And so here's what happened. We kind of grew apart in our high school years because as a junior in high school, he went to another high school. And so we were separated by the schools that we went to. And we weren't as close those last couple years in high school. Well, one night, I had another friend, another buddy, and he invited me over to his house to spend the night. Okay? Y'all following this story? And his sister, that same night, invited a friend of hers over. And I was innocent, y'all. I did not know. But this girl, she liked me, okay? And she made that real clear that night I spent the night with my buddy. And the next morning, the next afternoon, I got a call from my old buddy. He said, I hear you want to go out with my girlfriend. I had no clue that that was his girlfriend. Of course, she had told me that she and her boyfriend were breaking up and, you know, they were having trouble and they were going to split up, blah, 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 blah. And so I told him all that and he said, well, that's not true. She's my girlfriend. I just wanted you to know. Do you still want to go? I said, no, I don't want to go out with her. Well, he thanked me and said, it's good to talk to you. And we hung up. Well, this little lady wouldn't leave good enough alone. And she kept getting in touch with me. And so finally, I had a weak spell. And I met her down at the Pizza on Call on Madison Street. And then we went out to the movies. Okay? Well, the very next day, my old buddy pulls up in my driveway. And he knocks on the door, and I open the door, and there he is. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, come on in, man. He said, Cal, I said, what did you come over here for? He said, I want to go down to the Pizza on Call and then go out to the movies. And boy, I dropped my head. I said, man, I don't think she's been telling me the truth, but it's my fault. I could have stopped all this. And he said, well, I came over here to whip you. And I said, oh, wait a minute now. You in my house. And he said, but you know what? I pulled up in the driveway and all these memories started flooding my soul about how we were best buddies and best friends. And he said, I've come over here to tell you, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to whip you. I want to forgive you. And he said, the best part's right here. He said, this relationship with her is not worth losing my friendship with you. And he said, I broke up with her right before I showed up over here. So I've experienced that grace, and you have too. And I want to tell you when, and by the way, we sat down on the couch and started picking up right where we left off and started talking about all the great times we had together. And, you know, and we just laughed and cut up. Then when he left, he said, you can take her out now if you still want to. I said, nah. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, forgiveness. You're never more like Jesus than when you forgive. Especially the way that Jesus forgave you. And I don't know who this message is for today, but I guarantee you Satan's telling you right now, oh, don't you get up and come to the altar today. They'll all be talking about you. You know what? I could care less about what somebody else might think if I got up out of my seat and came to the altar. All you ought to be worried about is what does God think? Because he's the one you're going to eventually stand before. And he's forgiven you. And you need to forgive. I don't know who it is, but I guarantee you there are dozens of folks in here that have unforgiveness in their hearts. This is why God gave us this today. Let's just do what God's telling us to do this morning, Second Mile. Let's just be obedient, like Paul's telling Philemon. Just be obedient, refresh me. Bow your head with me, would you? Father, this issue of forgiveness is huge. I believe it's the number one problem in most churches today. We've got unforgiveness in our hearts. And it's blocking and damming up revival in our lives. And so I want to pray, God, please set us free today. Help us to extend grace and be examples of your grace. Help us to put a smile on the great big face of Jesus today. Help us to forgive one another. And in the quietness and stillness of this atmosphere, I want to ask you, please don't get up and leave. If you just pray for your people on either side of you. This is the most important time of this service where folks can get right with God. I want to just ask you to just flood this altar today with anything God tells you. If you need salvation, man, we'll share it with you. You can leave here saved. If it's another issue of obedience, forgiveness, unforgiveness, baptism, God's calling you out for something else, we're going to open up this altar in a spirit and atmosphere of prayer. We're going to ask you to come. Quietly and reverently, let's all stand. Go ahead, Andrew, and lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.